I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 42. And that's where we're going to be centering on. My message this morning is entitled, Tabitha Arise, Becoming a Woman of Influence. When Sue and I were talking about how we were going to handle the different holidays, we thought of this idea, because normally either Sue will speak or we'll have another woman speak, but we thought we would share, each of us, our own thoughts regarding the specific days of Mother's Day and Father's Day. So I'm going to share this morning, and on Father's Day, Sue is actually going to share. And this morning, I want to talk specifically to our sisters today. Whether you're a mom, a grandma, a single mom, an adoptive mom, whether you're here, you have no kids at all, we want to thank God for you. And God gave me a word, I feel the Lord gave me a word several weeks ago to share with all of our sisters here today. It is Mother's Day, a holiday where we honor motherhood, that's observed in different forms around the world. It began in the United States in 1908 and became an official holiday in 1914. And it has evolved to look in different forms. In fact, Anna Jarvis, the woman who got the ball rolling in 1908, she actually took great offense as to how quickly this day became so commercialized. And even as recent as these days, there are even some pastor friends of mine who are even debating whether they would hold a Mother's Day service at all. But I'm so grateful that we can have at least one day where we can focus on one of the greatest gifts that God has given to humanity as well as to the church. Oh, there have been a lot of sentimental poems and cards written about mothers, and I think some of you may be familiar with this poem that was written entitled, Things My Mother Taught Me. Just let me share with you some of those. Things My Mother Taught Me. First of all, she taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. Well, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. My mother taught me behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. Well, someone, I was doing some reading this week, and someone just took a little bit of a different turn on that and wrote down things I learned from my children. So see if anyone can identify with these. I learned a three-year-old's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. I learned if you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, the motor is not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing Batman underwear and a Superman cape. It is strong enough, however, to spread paint on all four walls of a 20-by-20 room. I learned from my kids you should not throw baseballs up when the ceiling fan is on. When using the ceiling fan as a bat, you have to throw the ball up a few times before you get a hit. And a ceiling fan can hit a baseball a long way. However, the glass windows, even double pane, doesn't stop a baseball hitting a ceiling fan. Things I learned from my kids, when you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. To every mom and grandma and great-grandma, we do salute you today. But we don't want to forget every one of our sisters that is here. The fact is, we would be lost as a society without the power and influence of women in our lives. Whether it be government, church, or our homes, women are indispensable. You see, there was a reason that God said of man, it is not good that man should be alone. And the King James Version says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. When I was younger, I always used to wonder, a helpmeet, what on earth does that mean? And different translations have taken that Hebrew phrase to mean either a helper fit for him, a helper as his partner, a helper comparable to him, and then helper as his counterpart. But what exactly does it mean? Well, I did a little bit of research into the Hebrew, and I wish I had time this morning to extract all of what this powerful phrase means. And I was thinking of several in this room who know Hebrew that a whole lot better than I do, but let me just try to capsulize and just summarize what this important phrase means. Literally, it means a helper like his opposite. One person has taken these two Hebrew phrases and taken it apart to mean to be face to face. But not face to face with arms folded like this, but face to face as if you are looking in the mirror and you are seeing that other person as a reflection of yourself. The same, yet different. Equal in every way, yet having her own individual characteristics. You see, as I read the Bible, I understand that the creation of women was not an afterthought with God, but instead she was vital in his divine plan for mankind's good. She was created to meet man's need. She was needed, is needed, and will continue to be needed by us all. And every man here said, you see, a helper in the Hebrew here is one who supplies that which is lacking in another person, one who is like but opposite him. When God created woman to do what man could not do by himself, it's not that man was better than woman or that woman was better than the man, but that each one is somehow incomplete without the other. And that's how God sees the marriage relationship. The husband and wife both need each other, as we read in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 16, where the bride affectionately refers to her husband in these words. Listen to this. This is awesome. This is my lover and this is my friend. 1 Peter 3:7 challenges husbands to be considerate and respectful because wives are joint heirs of the gracious gift of life. I want you to notice those important words. They are joint heirs with us men. Brothers, every woman in this house is not somehow less a follower of Jesus. They're not somehow less in their ministry. They're not somehow less in their calling. They're not somehow less in their anointing. No, they are joint heirs in the calling and the anointing of God to serve him, just like we are. She understood. She was the perfect answer to man's dreams. And this truth provides women with dignity, delight, and dedication to fill the role that God designed for each woman here. As the Bible says, how a woman is clothed with dignity of knowing who she walks with is incredible strength. And with that strength, she yields powerful influence. And that's what I want to center on this morning, women. That's what I want every man here to understand, is the power of influence and impact that the sisters in our lives that God has given us, how they impact us and our world together. Throughout my life of ministry, I've known women who exercised incredible influence for the Lord in leading children and youth to serve Him. Just like my mother, my grandmother, and Miss Pearl. Who's Miss Pearl, Pastor? Well, let me tell you. Miss Pearl was my very favorite Sunday school teacher of all time. She was single, never married, never had her own children. But she left an indelible mark on my life along with the lives of countless other children she taught over the years. When she taught us, she made the Bible stories come to life. Not because she was that great a teacher, but because she made each and every one of us feel significant and important. We always knew Miss Pearl loved us and had a word from God for us. And many of her students would later grow up to serve God in business, as teachers, in the ministry, as missionaries, and many in many other areas of leadership. And I just want to say a word here this morning to any who have been privileged to teach as a Sunday school teacher, or a children's worker, or a junior high worker. Never, ever, ever, ever think that you're a babysitter. Never think you're just filling in time with these kids. But when you choose to pour into their lives and make them feel loved and important, I can guarantee that they will never, ever forget your influence. You're being used by God to influence the next generation for the Lord, and that will change our nation. And you see, if there is a lie that Satan uses to diminish the influence and significance that women have, it is to convince them that they have little or no impact in this world. You see, sisters, Satan knows the power, influence that you have for advancing the kingdom of God. And so he goes out of his way to try to diminish your feeling of significance. In one church I pastored early in my ministry, I had one gentleman who was on my board who made this statement: the women, they do the spiritual stuff like teach the children and pray. But we, meaning the men, we do the important stuff like leading the church. I want every woman in this assembly who's watching on Facebook this morning, I want you to understand today that God has created you with equal purpose and significance, with equal anointing and equal compassion to influence this generation for the Lord. I'd like us to consider one individual woman this morning from the Bible that is a model for us of what it means to influence a generation through the power of serving. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9 and beginning at verse 36. In Joppa, we read there was a disciple named Tabitha. So let me introduce you to Tabitha this morning. Oh, Tabitha, that was her Aramaic name. Dorcas, however, was her Greek name, and which is why in some of your Bibles you may have either or both of those names mentioned. Now, it was a common practice. Now, both of these names mean the same thing. They mean gazelle. Now, why on earth would a parent name their daughter a gazelle? I remember when we were in Bible college and some of us were thinking of ways that we might want to impress that certain girl and just let her know how spiritual we were and how much they meant to us. Some of us thought by going to the Song of Solomon and reading to them these verses: your neck is like a gazelle, your nose is like an ostrich. I think some of those guys are still single. Why on earth would they do that? Well, the simple reason was this, that it was the common practice that parents would name their child, particularly a daughter, after an animal that typified grace, beauty, majesty, and wonder. And so we understand from the name that the parents gave this young lady that in their view, their daughter was the most beautiful daughter anyone could be graced with. And so they named her Gazelle. And so growing up, she would be reminded each and every day when her daddy called her, "Oh, my beautiful Gazelle, my beautiful, graceful daughter, my wonder, you're so wonderful and graceful and beautiful." Each and every day she would hear this from her dad, from her mom, from everyone who called her name. And I just want to say here this morning that if you are privileged to have a daughter or a granddaughter, oh, men, how a great privilege we have of pouring into them, reminding them of the gift they are, of the beauty they are, of the grace that they hold, and the influence that God would give them. Oh, may we as dads, as granddads, as uncles, learn how to pour into our daughters. Because the sad fact of the matter is, it's not happening in our society. I was absolutely astounded the other night watching the news to learn after a news report that 50% of girls in Canada are being abused, either verbally, mentally, emotionally, physically, or sexually. And for every abuse that is reported, just think about this, men. For every abuse that's reported to the police, that individual has already been abused 37 times. Oh, God, help us. Men, if we want to learn how to be leaders in our home, then let's be leaders. By pouring into our wives, by pouring into our daughters, by pouring into our granddaughters, and hugging them and loving them and reminding them that they are God's graceful gift to us. Amen. We don't know much about Tabitha, but we know a lot about what she did. We have no record of her words, but we know about her work because her life of servitude spoke loudly. Most commentators think she was a widow or single because there's no mention of a man in her life. By the way, women were accorded special status by Jesus. I hope you understand this today. We read throughout Scripture and the Gospels how women accompanied Jesus on his journeys and often were financial contributors to his ministry. Women stayed with him when he hung on the cross, and they were the first witnesses of the resurrection. And as you read through the New Testament, women were very involved in the global expansion of the church. In Romans chapter 16 alone, we read of Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and these women who are all said to work hard in the Lord. These were women who just weren't sitting on the sidelines, twiddling their thumbs and doing the quote unquote spiritual things of the church. No, they were actively involved in the very running of the church and the running of ministry. They were at the forefront. And you may wonder, well, what was their influence? Their influence and the example that they give us, all of us, is how they served. And as we look at Tabitha, we learn three things about her. First of all, we learn that she was a devoted disciple. She is known as a disciple or follower of Jesus. In fact, did you know that she is the only woman in the New Testament explicitly identified as a disciple? Now, that's pretty amazing when you think that this title was not given to Mary or Martha or Priscilla or any other woman in the Bible. But she stands out as a faithful follower of Christ. In fact, she was so devoted that only the disciple description is used to define her. Well, what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is simply a learner, a follower, and one who is determined to be like his or her teacher. And so Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 6:40, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. And one of the highest compliments that any one of us could ever receive is that that person, Ralph, Stephen, Gloria, I want to follow Jesus because they do. That's the highest compliment any of us could ever receive as a follower of Jesus Christ. And Dr. Luke tells us that Tabitha was so devoted that only the disciple description could be used of her. Not only was she a devoted disciple, but she was a doer of deeds. The deeds of people not only moved her, she moved in response to the needs that she saw. She served, and people knew it because of her Savior. And that was her identity. She understood that she was saved to serve. Not to be served, but she was saved to serve. In fact, this is what a devoted disciple is. He or she is a devoted doer of good deeds. She is not lazy by any means, but was quick to respond when someone needed help. We studied in our foundations class this week as we looked at Mark. And there was a story how Jesus saw this individual. He was covered in leprosy. And the Bible says in the King James that he was moved with compassion. Another translation says that he was indignant when he saw the leper. And I wondered, what on earth, why would Jesus be indignant when he sees someone who is so grievously ill? And as I did my own word study, I came to understand that the word that is used there in the New Testament, it means to actually enter into and feel the pain of another. So much so that you are moved with passion to meet that need. Not only did that describe Jesus' ministry, but this was Tabitha's attitude. When she saw a need, she just didn't feel pity or feel sorry for an individual. Rather, that she saw a need, she heard of a need, and instantly, without thought, without thinking, she just rushed to meet the need as best as she could. She followed the admonition of Paul in Galatians 6:10 that says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. She didn't do anything heroic like Deborah or risky like Rahab. She simply served her Savior in two ways. First of all, she served with what she had. Notice later on in this passage that we will touch on that those who came to grieve her death, they came with all of the things, the clothes and the things that she had made. Apparently, she was a seamstress. She was a businesswoman. She just didn't stay at home doing what women were supposed to do. No, she took an active role in the economy of her community. She was a very successful businesswoman by all accounts. We don't read of a sermon that she taught, preached. We don't read of anything else other than what she did. She used what she had to serve others. And that's the point. How many of us, men and women alike, we miss the opportunities to glorify God through in ministry simply because we are waiting for God to show us. When God returns and says, what have I put in your hand? What have I put in your hand? Is it a hammer? Is it a screwdriver? Is it a pen? Is it pots and pans that you can make rhubarb pie? What is it that I've put in your hand? And if you want to know where God has called you to ministry or how you can minister, then ask yourself the question, God, what is it you've put in my hand? I want to give it to you. I want to give it for you and have you use me, whatever it is. And we may think it's unassuming. It may even be sacrificial in giving, whatever it is. I want to encourage us this morning that whatever God has given us, that's what he's given us to do. And who has he called us to give it to? The same people that Tabitha did, the ones who were on the margins. She gave and she supplied and she provided for the hurting. She helped the hurting. She always did good and had a heart to help the hurting and the hopeless. In those days, of course, widows didn't have social security or pensions. They were at the mercy of their family or the compassion of the church. But look at the last part of verse 36. She helped the poor. Verse 39 shows us that she was a seamstress. And since there were no Old Navy stores in Joppa, making clothes was a task assigned to women in that culture. But she was doing more than sewing on a sewing machine. She was using what God had given her to pour into and to be used as her opportunity to love on others and be Jesus to those who needed his love the most. Proverbs 31:19-20 says, In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. You want to know who God has called you to reach? Look around you and see those who need help. They may even live on one of the big houses bordering on the ocean. They may be squatting under in the big boxes over across the highway. Wherever they are, whoever they are, there are people who are in need within this community. Serving is simply using what you have to help others. Sue mentioned this morning two areas of ministry of possible where we use our gifts to serve. One is in a few weeks we're going to have the big give. And this will be the third year that we've had the opportunity to love on our community. And some wonder, well, what good does that do? How is that preaching the gospel? I'll tell you how it does preaching the gospel. We are being the feet and hands and heart of Jesus to our community. And as we are faithful in that, God gives us the authority and the opportunity and the license to be able to share his love verbally with them. And then, of course, there's our VBS coming up in July where we have an opportunity to serve with what we have, the children of our community. Oh, I am praying, folk, I'm asking you to join me in prayer that we will see this room filled with children from our neighborhood. Yes, thank goodness we have the opportunity to minister to kids from other churches, but I want to, my prayer, oh Lord, let this room be filled with the children from our neighborhood. Sue mentioned that we're having our upcoming hockey and hot dogs. Our last one, we had roughly about 70 parents and their kids here. Of that 70, I would dare say about 40 were from our neighborhood and didn't go to any church at all. God, let this be an opportunity. Let us be the hands. Let us be the feet. Let us be the hot dogs to be able to bring them here and to hear the good news of Jesus. Where has God called you to serve? What has he given you? What is in your hand? Look around. See where he has called you. Apparently, Tabitha's unique compassion contribution was so important to Joppa that when she died, God even had to raise her up again. You know, I wondered after reading this passage, why was it that Tabitha was raised from the dead while someone like Peter, like someone like Stephen wasn't? Stephen was one of the first martyrs for the Christian faith in Jerusalem. And wouldn't that have been a powerful testimony if God had raised Stephen, the evangelist? Man, he could have gone on the preaching circuit. He could have been on CBN. He could have been on all of the Christian radio and TV stations. But no, God chose that the very first person to receive this kind of healing would be a woman. And why was she raised? Was it because she was a great teacher that could never be replaced? Was she a huge financial contributor? Was she a miracle worker? No. And then this hit me. She was raised because God does not want compassion to die in the church. There comes a place where we do get tired. And I hear it all the time, Pastor, I can't do it anymore. I'm just too tired. It's time to take a break. I'm just too tired. And there's so much need around us, and we throw our hands up. How can we do this? But God didn't want compassion to die in the church. And of all the things the church is to be known for, it's that that we compassionately care for people in their time of need. And when Tabitha died, there came a compassion crisis in the church. So Peter called on Tabitha to get up, and she did. And I want every woman in this room, every one of my sisters here to hear this morning, that God is calling each of you to get up. Some of you are tired. Some of you are at that wit's end and you can't do it anymore. And folk, ladies, I want you to know that God hears you. He feels for you. He feels with you. But don't give up. God is calling you today to get up from your bed of spiritual lethargy and death. And he wants to say, I'm going to give you new life. I'm going to give you a new passion. I'm going to give you a renewed purpose. I'm going to give you a renewed reason. I'm going to give you a renewed anointing that you can continue to be the woman of God that he's called you to be. And what does he want you to do? Just take what you have in your hand and serve those who need Jesus' love. And this comes to my main PowerPoint that I conclude with today. We become people of influence by using what we have to serve others. And as we serve God by serving other people, it is less about what we can do for God and much more about what God wants to do through us. It's interesting, Tabitha doesn't go on a preaching circuit. She doesn't become famous. She just stays right where she is. As far as we know, she was born, lived, and she would eventually die in Joppa. But she continued with the strength that God would give her to serve faithfully. And God is calling every woman in this place this morning to arise. Tabitha, arise. God has anointed you. God has called you. God has equipped you. Therefore, I say to you, my sisters, today, arise. Arise. Arise in him. Let him fill you with his spirit. Let him use you like you've never been used before. Arise. Father, I come to you this morning and I thank you for every one of my sisters that is here today. I thank you, Lord, that you have called them, that you have anointed them, that you have, Lord, poured out your passion and compassion in them. I thank you that each one in this room has something that you have given them and placed in their hand, that, Lord, when they give to you, God, even though, Lord, they may be tired, you will, Lord, energize them. Even though they may be tired of praying, God, you're going to give them the strength to pray more. Even though they're tired of serving, God, you're going to give them a new purpose. Lord, you're going to give them a new reason. God, I thank you for each one. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would all hear that call to arise, to arise, to arise. Ladies, do you hear the Spirit beckoning you this morning? Do you hear the Spirit calling you this morning? Do you hear his anointing on your life? Do you hear him today? Then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and lift your hands to the Lord. And whatever it is God's placed in your hand, to symbolically say, God, I give it to you today. It is yours. I am yours today. In Jesus' name, Tabitha, arise with me this morning and say, God, here I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Could we all stand together and let's sing that great chorus? Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just, Lord, express our love to him this morning in praise and worship. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you our lives. We give you our lives afresh this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Many of you may have heard on the news last night the tragic murder that took place in Brentwood last evening or yesterday afternoon. You may have seen Reed in Virginia here. Reed serves part-time as a night guard at the local jail. And he was actually in the jail last night when the accused person was brought in. And he received a call just as we were in prayer this morning that he had to rush back to the jail this morning because there was an emergency with that individual. So I'd like us to just lift Reed in prayer right now. Father, we just pray, God, for our brother Reed today. Lord, we pray that you would give him compassion and passion as he, Lord, would serve in that situation, that as he would be Jesus in that situation. May he be the calm in the midst of chaos. May your Holy Spirit in him bring peace in the midst of turmoil. And Father, I just commit him to you in the name of Jesus, and we give you the thanks, Lord. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day again. And don't forget, there's something special for each and every one of the ladies that is here with us today. God bless.